so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
Welcome, everybody. It is the first installment of the reimagined, reemerged, rebranded Let Me Be Frank podcast, except we're going to break it down into three weekly segments where 15-minute weekend update, 15 minutes or less if you, you know, had family engagements, whatnot, that kept you away from the TV and the sports world. We're going to get you caught up on everything you need to know. That is this episode. Drops every Monday. Wednesdays is more of a regular show, usually with a guest. Depends on what is happening in the world and my life, because that's how I put it together. And then Fridays, 5-minute Fridays, just talking about one main topic either from the week or that we find interesting, you know, in the summer when there's nothing going on. That's the time where you get a little creative. But Sam Norlin and I here for the weekend update. We'll bring it to you every recording every Sunday, dropping every Monday. We've actually had a pretty interesting weekend this weekend, Sam.
Yeah, starting off with the shirt that you're wearing that is bad radio that nobody can see, but the Army Black Knights, first 11-win season in school history, and they just absolutely trounced Major Applewhite's Houston Cougars without Ed Oliver there, and that 70 points without maybe the best player in college football is, at least on the defensive side of the ball, pretty big deal.
Yeah, you know, maybe Ed Oliver can contribute, you know, a 21-point swing, but other than that, I don't know how much he's going to change in that game. It was a complete thrashing on the ground. Kelvin Thompson was incredible. 3 of 3 passing. I think he ran it like 16 times for 5 touchdowns and almost 200 yards. Army was dominant. They have been pretty damn good since Jeff Monken took over 3 years ago. I think they're 28-10 in those 3 seasons. And this is the first time Army's ever had back-to-back 10-win seasons. And like you mentioned, the first 11-win year ever for Army, so shout out to them, and you know, hopefully Navy can bounce back after a tough year and make that game way more interesting or more meaningful, I guess I should say.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's obviously always very meaningful for two huge swaths of the country, but yeah, that and the 5 touchdowns was the most by, I think, either like a bowl record for Army or like a most rushing touchdowns for a quarterback like ever, and yeah, that was just a really cool kind of icing on the top of the cake for their, as far as their season goes.
Yeah, you got to feel real bad for those folks in the LMBF pick'em that did not take Army. I for one would never be one of those. Always pick
Couldn't
the troops.
Imagine. Exactly.
But big news over the weekend. Number 1 Kansas heads to Arizona State, taking on a Sun Devils team that is kind of the only bright spot in the Pac-12 at this point. They have had a tumultuous last 2 weeks, really. Washington State loses to San Diego. This Arizona State team got blown out by Vanderbilt. USC lost a couple bad games. You've just got teams dropping left and right. And in a game where it looked like Kansas late was going to pull away with it, they had up to an 8-point lead and had a couple possessions with a chance to extend it to double digits. Remy Martin, Trey Holder, Lugens Dort all came up with some huge, huge plays, despite missing a few free throws, but were able to hit some big shots and win the game for the Sun Devils.
Yeah, for all the crazy stuff that Bill Walton has to say about the games and all the compliments that he throws players, he really seems to be in love with that Lugens Dort guy. That freshman out of Montreal for Arizona State is something special, and obviously without having Udoka Azubuike, they weren't able to really close it down the stretch, and they had the lead for
most
90% of the game, it seemed like. Yeah, most of the game. And all of a sudden, Arizona State just hit a few big shots late, and their free throw distractions were always entertaining. But yeah, it was a big win for the Sun Devils and their second win ever against a number 1 opponent in the first in 40-something years, I think.
Yeah, and the big thing was Kansas has been playing like they're ready to lose for weeks now, and they've pulled out games that they certainly shouldn't have. It's taken Herculean efforts from LeGerald Vick and Dedrick Lawson to keep this team afloat. And finally, like, Lawson had an incredible game. I think he had 30 points and 15 rebounds. And even that wasn't enough. They had tough possessions late, turning the ball over time and time again. Their defense just continuously broke down. The only thing that really kept this a game is the fact that Arizona State shot like 60% from the free throw line. They could not seem to figure out how to hit free throws late.
Yeah, and I think Dedrick Lawson's either 18 or 20 of his 30 points, like you said, came in the first half. So he obviously made an impact in the second half, but obviously their Kansas didn't really have a guy who they went to make that big shot down the stretch to either extend a lead or kind of save them from choking it away.
Yeah, and there were points where LeGerald Vick hit a couple big shots, but it wasn't consistent enough to the point where you're like, okay, they feel fine playing an inside-out game with just those two. Like, Dotson was non-existent. Garrett did not play well. They just didn't have it. K.J. Lawson wasn't anything. Charlie Moore was eh. There just wasn't enough on that team, and it felt like every possession down the floor, a different Arizona State guard was ready to take over and make a big shot.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
So number one goes down. The Sun Devils gonna probably levels out their blowout loss against Vanderbilt, who's playing without their best player. They probably move up a little bit in the polls, and the people that don't really pay attention to college basketball that somehow vote on it will put them up to like number nine. But that's that. Duke probably will be number one after beating Texas Tech, but should be interesting moving into conference play. That's really the last big non-conference weekend of the year. Baseball is a thing still. We've got free agent talk. The two big names on the market, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. There have been a lot of rumors and speculation swirling, and the one thing you and I have both agreed on is that no one knows what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to these two free agents. Nobody knows a thing about Bryce Harper. I can't remember his name. Jim Bowden, maybe, went on the record within 7 days saying the White Sox were the front runners for Bryce Harper, and then 7 days later said that they weren't even in the mix. So that just proves what we know about this. But the big thing is the Dodgers making a huge trade. Yasiel Puig, Matt Kemp, Alex Wood heading over to Cincinnati, the Reds of all places. They get Jeter Downs, a top pitching prospect, and Homer Bailey, who was already released. This is just a money move, right?
I'd say so, but quietly, the Reds kind of have and they have in the past, they just didn't have the pitching, but even now, more so, they've got a bit of a scary lineup. So the NL Central is getting stronger with the moves that the Cardinals have made for Paul Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller as well. But that won't be a fun division to be a pitcher in, that's for sure.
Yeah, and on the flip side, the Dodgers, it looks like they're clearing space for, hopefully, they think a Harper run. I think they're going to make a run at Bryce Harper as well and pull the trigger there. However, there are rumors, there's noise that they would like to bring on Corey Kluber, or out of nowhere, this name, Nick Castellanos, comes up from the Tigers, the outfielder. And from everything I've been reading, it sounds like the Tigers have an extremely high asking price on Castellanos. Do you perceive this team flipping one of these prospects they just got from Cincinnati and maybe another money name to take on Castellanos, and then maybe they make enough room to either grab Kluber or Bryce Harper? I just kind of talked this through in my head here, and it makes a little more sense than I like it to.
Yeah, just a bit. And as a proud Midwesterner and Cubs fan, I'm a hater of teams on the coast, New York, LA, you name it. So that's something I would legitimately hate to see happen. Mm-hmm. But as sitting down to start this, I didn't think that type of thing. But as you said, you kind of talked yourself into it.
Yeah,
it sounds pretty convincing to me as well. So I won't challenge that too much. But obviously, with the whole push for Harper, the Dodgers, the current GM hasn't shelled out a contract more than $93 million, and obviously the asking price for Harper is going to be
a little bit higher than that.
Yeah, just slightly. And the fact that there's been, both for Harper and Machado, so many different teams that have come out as front runners in the past months and a year even, it, like, just like you said, nobody knows what's happening. We'll kind of not really know until January.
Exactly. The last bit of news is Manny Machado. We mentioned him early. He's down to about three teams, it seems. The Yankees, the Phillies, and the White Sox. Those are the three teams he visited with. He told all of them that he will wait until after the new year to make his decision, which is kind of nice to know what the hell is going on, or at least have some time frame to expect his decision. You know, good on him for, you know, helping out the big Jays out there, knowing, hey, we can relax on the Machado trail.
Yep.
I think he's going to the White Sox. I don't know about you. I think this is a done deal to the South Side. I think he's going to get a huge contract. Jerry Reinsdorf is going to write his first ever $100 million plus deal, and this is where it's going.
Yeah, and I like as we've said, nobody knows what they're doing or knows what they're thinking, really.
Yeah.
But I feel like Harper or Machado, now it seems like it's leaning Machado, will end up on the South Side, whereas Harper is kind of in an Eric Carlson deal where it'll just kind of blow up and set the media world and Twitter ablaze, like just what,
like when we least expect it, it's going to come out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. So
that's baseball. Like you mentioned before, we'll recap it again though. Andrew Miller to the Cardinals. That was the other big free agent signing. The NFL. It's NFL Sunday. Some of the early games are still going. I think a couple of them still have like a minute left. There's not much time. The Texans just scored late to take the lead over the Eagles, making the NFC East race over, I think.
More or less, yeah. A Vikings winner and an Eagles loss, I think, clinched in the playoffs.
Yep. So that'll do that. The Titans ended up winning on Saturday. Cowboys won. Vikings with a win. Panthers lose again. Browns staying alive. I don't know what their chances are at this point, but they won again. That team, Cleveland, has really come alive since the firing of Hugh Jackson. Who knew? Who knew that Hugh, the guy that won two or three games over 40, would be the problem?
Yeah, can't imagine why. Yeah, the fact that they've got, like, you go through their roster and just read their personnel, and you're like, this may not be a playoff contender, but they're not a.
They should certainly win games.
Yeah, exactly. And like in the NFL, there's some weeks where you can just fall into a win, basically. And the Browns hadn't been able to do that, but yeah, since he was obviously the problem, and now that he's out of town, then watch out for him.
Exactly. The big afternoon games: Chicago Bears, LA Rams playing pretty much for the 2 seed. The Rams without Todd Gurley, Bears in San Francisco against a very weird 49ers team. Don't want to spend too much time on these two games, but a Bears win and a Rams loss sets it up for Week 17, where the Bears would control their own destiny against the Vikings, who would already be in the playoffs. Big situation, unbelievable chance for Chicago, but worst comes to worst, they're still hosting a game in the wild card round.
Yeah, exactly, and a playoff game at Soldier Field would be
absolutely electric.
Absolutely electric, and I heard Michael Strahan was saying on the Fox NFL game day morning that the two places that you didn't want to play in the playoffs were L.A. and New Orleans, which makes a lot of sense. L.A., the home field advantage, I don't think is
like non-existent.
Any primetime game that they have is filled with fans from other places because they make it a destination too. So I think I'd replace L.A. with Soldier Field, Monster of the Midway, that defense, that crowd noise, bear weather.
You don't want to be playing in like 25 degree weather with drunk Chicagoans just screaming and that siren going off every time the defense touches the field.
That siren, man. Holy cow. It gets in people's heads.
It does. That's what we were missing in the preseason when we went to that game. That's all we needed. Yep. The Bills would have been done.
Exactly. But we did get to see a defensive touchdown. So
we did. Pick six. Mm-hmm. That is our show. Week one in the books. We will bring it to you again, like I said, recording Sundays, dropping Mondays. Let us know what you think. Subscribe, review, and we will see you all next week.